Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of the program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. We're live streaming on Facebook. If you want to watch the show there or listen, you can also access some of the articles that we've cited as we've been covering the news of the day. Big news is, there are about three stories that are big news right now going on, and that is Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, is going to finish up, I suppose, his hearings. He had a hearing yesterday for the United States Senate where he was basically accused of being a racist, a bigot, homophobe, against women's choice, all the standard lefty claims against anybody that wants to be, it's a conservative who wants to be in a position of power like AG. That's their typical. It's not going to work. It's not going to work because those things are not true about Jeff Sessions. And so it's not going to work. He's going to be confirmed, which is great news. Then you've got Rex Tillerson. He's having hearings now before the United States Senate about his role potentially as Secretary of State. Should he be confirmed? I think most people think he will be confirmed, but that's maybe not as assured as Jeff Sessions, although Jeff Sessions may be 52-48 because that's the margin that the Republicans have in the United States Senate. The Senate are the ones that vote, not the House of Representatives members when it comes to cabinet confirmations. So, and then the third big story is Donald Trump is having a news conference at Trump Tower in New York. He's talking about a variety of different things. Abe Hamilton, good morning, Abe.
Good morning. Good morning.
Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Steve Jordahl now is joining us with the news team at onenewsnow.com. Steve, you've been tracking Donald Trump's press conference this morning?
I have, Tim. I've got at least the first hour or so of it, 45 minutes of it, I was able to watch before. He's still going. So Walker's going to go ahead and track it while we're on the air here. But I brought some bites.
Okay, well, what's he been talking about?
Well, the big thing that I was afraid was going to derail this press conference was the fake news that came. I don't know if you guys have been talking about this, what came out of Russia supposedly came out of Russia. He started out the whole thing by sending his spokesperson, Sean Spicer, up, who gave the press a huge tongue lashing. And then he sent up Vice President-elect Pence, who also tore into the media a little bit, saying that they were irresponsible and they're biased. In fact, this is what Mr. Pence had to say. Cut one, Brent.
You know, I have long been a supporter of a free and independent press, and I always will be. But with freedom comes responsibility. And the irresponsible decision of a few news organizations to run with a false and unsubstantiated report when most news organizations resisted the temptation to propagate this fake news can only be attributed to media bias, an attempt to demean the president-elect and our incoming administration, and the American people are sick and tired of it.
Who was that?
That was
Mike Pence.
Mike Pence, vice president-elect. And he kind of took into the media a little bit. Do you agree with what he said, Ed?
Now say what?
He, you're listening? Hi. Good morning, Ed. Welcome to the show.
I'm actually reading a New York Times story on why they did not decide to publish the BuzzFeed news. So,
and what did New York Times say?
New York Times is saying they did. It was explosive but unverified, and they could not publish it. So that's in reference to what Mike Pence was saying in terms of who's responsible and who isn't responsible in terms of a free and fair press.
Well, Abe, there's two things to think about with Donald Trump that you got to consider if you're the New York Times or any other news organization. Number one is, if you're wrong, you could look really bad, and Donald Trump will seize on that and make you look even worse for whatever that's worth, you could lose credibility, what's left of the liberal news media in this country. Number two, he's the type of guy who would say, I'm suing you. Mm. You're slandering me. You're spreading false rumors about me, but hurting my presidency. And so therefore, he's just the type of guy, it seems to me. I don't even know, can you do that as a president?
I think it'll be even more difficult to do for him as a president because he would be the president.
It's an impossibly high bar.
Yeah.
I'm just saying he's going to, like, for example, he's going to publicly shame you. That's for sure. Walker, you said just a while ago, he said to something to a reporter, just talking about Donald Trump's press conference in New York. What did he say? What happened?
Yeah, well, at the beginning of the press conference, Sean Spicer, his incoming press secretary, and Mike Pence, they kind of delved into the Russian thing and kind of put it behind him and then turned it over to President-elect Trump. So I thought he would not delve into any of that.
Well, Trump, you mean? He started talking about jobs, the economy, trade, what he's going to do, the inauguration.
So I'm watching the comments now. He's taking questions from reporters again. And he pointed at one reporter and said, I'm not giving you a question because you are fake news. Mm. And then he went on to somebody else. and so this Trump unhinged, you know, unfiltered Trump is not going away, it doesn't appear.
No, I've never used the word hinge with Trump.
He was hinged.
As I say, for better or worse, on balance, I like Trump. On balance, I like Trump. I'm just saying we all know his flaws. But some people say those aren't flaws, those are assets. I'm just saying that responding to every criticism is not something you want your president doing, and I think he'll get better on that. I think, for example, Walker, you're talking about Pence and you want to send your surrogates out to do that kind of thing. When you're president, you're above the fray, so to speak. Yeah. You're above it all, and I think he will adapt that.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, as opposed to being a candidate where he feels like he needs to tweet and respond to everything. Yes, Steve.
The first thing that Donald Trump said when he got to the stage, though, was to thank the media that had not picked it up. The New York Times being a prime example, as Ed was saying, and he said, there are several organizations that have not treated me well, that I have not had high regard for, but because you did not publish this, your esteem has gone up a little bit in my in my eyes. So he was into that. This is a press conference, so he really doesn't have a lot of control over what is talked about. It's going to be, he's answering
the
questions.
Oh, yeah, he does, too.
Well, I don't believe, Donald Trump here. I do not believe he's going to be like President Obama, who kind of
he doesn't
knew,
have press conferences.
Well, he did. His press secretary did, and Sean Spicer will too. But Mr. Obama kind of knew he had the first couple, and it's kind of common practice in Washington at a press briefing from the White House to have the first couple questions. You at least know who's going to be asking them, so you have an idea of what questions they're going to ask. So. That kind of might be a little different under Trump. Mr. Trump went on to talk about his business acumen, companies coming to build in the U.S. He said that drug industry has to come back to the U.S. and there has to be a new bidding requirements in for the drug industry. He calls them getting away with murder now with the fact that they're charging so much for their drugs. The F-35 and F-15, he says, are going to be competitive bidding. He's been working with admirals and generals. But he has a very healthy view of himself, I think we'd all say. This is what he had to say about bringing jobs back. Cut two, Brent.
We're going to create jobs. I said that I will be the greatest jobs producer that God ever created. And I mean that. I'm going to work very hard on that.
In the beginning, God created men, women, and job producers.
The good news is, apparently, Trump does not believe he himself is God. So that's
true.
So that's actually, you know, no, sure. I not that he ever thought that. We all kind of, when people are, marked by a sense of self-importance or have a grand image of themselves, sometimes we use that as kind of a metaphor for what's going on in a person's mind. So at least he knows there is a God and it's not him. Let's say that.
That's a good point, Ed.
You know, about this situation with Russia, which is getting comical, quite frankly, in many respects. The Russians are being blamed for everything. By the way, the Democrats blame the Russians for tampering with the election, right?
Because they wanted Trump.
The Democrats said they tampered with the election. Again, there's no evidence anywhere that a vote was changed. It's just that they hacked into the Democrats so they could, create chaos in the campaign with their emails, which Julian Assange, WikiLeaks released. So it's the Russians' fault for making the Democrats look bad. That's the thing, and thus leading to Trump's win, which is what the Russians wanted.
Putin and Trump are real good friends.
That's the narrative, yeah.
And now they're saying...
He addressed that a little bit, too, his friendship with Russia. We'll get to that in a second.
Well, he tweeted Donald Trump, which is rare. He tweeted, Russia has never tried to use leverage over me. I have nothing to do with Russia. No deals, no loans, no nothing. All in caps with an exclamation point. So he tweeted that. So
yep.
So now, and I guess what I'm saying is, first the Democrats,
right,
put forth the narrative that the Russians got involved in the election,
right,
because of Putin and Trump's friendship. They wanted Trump to win. Now, however, it appears the Russians don't like Trump because they have all this information on him and it's being leaked.
So these are the same people.
So who is it? Which is it?
Right. Is
it
the Russians same
love
people
him or hate him?
The same people who say they want the Russians wanted Trump to win because Clinton is a hawk and she's scares them. those same people say now that Russia's trying to damage Trump with this salacious fake news material because Russia wants to damage the presidency of the guy that they wanted to be president. You see how all this works?
Yes. Yeah.
What else you got there, Steve Jordahl?
Well, he went forward. He said he's looking forward to the inauguration. Then he mentioned that he's got some incredible bands coming because, there's been this whole thing about performers not wanting to perform at the inauguration. He's got a bunch of them. Said he has a movement and is proud of the movement. He also made an announcement. This is something new. He appointed David Shelkin to head the VA. We've been waiting for who he's going to choose. He's convinced that Mr. Shelkin can do a good job. Mr. Shelkin, I don't know much about him. I just have been learning a little bit in recent moments. He is already at the VA as some kind of a manager there. Mr. Trump tends to find people who are incredibly talented at management, and Trump has been very adept at finding these great managers. It's his MO when he runs his businesses. He will hire away from his competition. He will just find the best that in the industry, and he will hire them and pay them well. And so that's news. Has anybody ever heard of a David Shelkin here?
No, not I.
I never have.
He said that in relation to the VA, that this is kind of interesting. He said the major hospitals in the United States, he mentioned the Cleveland Clinic and the Mayo Clinic, are going to be aligning with the VA, ostensibly to provide some care and some help where the VA is overloaded or whatever. There's going to be a relationship now between the Veterans Administration and some of the premier hospitals in the United States. I think that's great.
Partnership, if you will, with a private entity that may do a pretty good job at something?
I always thought, now I've not studied this, so I don't know whether it's feasible or not, but it always seemed to me that when the government steps in to try to provide through a bureaucracy what the private sphere does fairly well, that's always a bad deal. And so I always thought the VA should be phased out and our veterans should be, whether it's a special plan that's created or whether they're given vouchers or whatever, and let them go to regular hospitals to get the care that the private sector is able to do fairly well.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you do that?
I guess they have, like most bureaucratic endeavors, the government always thought they could keep costs down. It would be less expensive and more efficient. But of course, with all bureaucratic endeavors, most of them, I would say, this has proven not to be true. And we've had we have people dying, people waiting to get, tests. So, once you've told veterans, well, if you need medical care, you have to go to the VA. That's where you have to go. Otherwise, you have to pay for it yourself. They're stuck. And I think they should be given, at least start off with choice.
Right.
What else you got, Steve?
Well, he then went to his first question, and predictably it was about the Russian hacking. The reporters just cannot leave it alone. Cut three, Brent, this was his response to that first question.
It was a group of opponents that got together, sick people, and they put that crap together. So I will tell you that not within the meeting, but outside of the meeting, somebody released it. It should never have been, number one, shouldn't have even entered paper, but it should never have been released. But I read what was released, and I think it's a disgrace. I think it's an absolute disgrace.
Yep.
So is that tawdry stuff you were talking about, Ed, earlier?
Yes, that's what he's talking about.
We can't even mention what some of that stuff was on our air.
No.
That he was that was in this evidently made up story.
The question was
about him.
The question was about an intelligence briefing that he had gotten, because there's kind of an echo chamber going on here. So the fake news producers or creators sent this story or put this story out there. The Trump Organization didn't know it was fake, wanted the CIA to check it out. They didn't say anything about it, but they sent it to the CIA. The CIA put it in their confidential daily briefing. And then somebody from the intelligence agencies, and believe me, Donald Trump is not too keen on this either, someone from the intelligence agencies leaked that in an effort to disparage Trump. And that's where the press got it, and that's where this debate in the press about can we verify it, should we publish it, and some did. One organization in particular just put the whole thing right out there,
BuzzFeed.
Unfiltered. BuzzFeed, yeah.
I don't even think anybody knows at this point whether the report is actually a CIA document. I've been reading stuff that says this is not an intelligence report.
No, it ended up, my understanding is it ended up in the intelligence report because it was forwarded to the CIA by people who didn't know if it was fake or not. I mean, Trump knew that the allegations were fake, but is this another example of maybe a state actor, Russia, trying to intimidate or saying that they have something on him, and it's a matter he wanted the CIA to weigh in on? So he gave it to the CIA, his team did. In turn, it ended up in an intelligence report, and the CIA or someone in the intelligence community leaked it. Now, either they leaked the document, which was the classified briefing, which would have been a punishable offense, or they leaked the original material that they got from intelligence. I don't know that, but Mr. Trump is certainly not happy.
Yeah, the way the original, if I got this right, because as you just explained, this is pretty confusing. But the way I originally read what BuzzFeed was putting out was this was leaked from the CIA. It made it sound as if the CIA had collected this information about Donald Trump, and that is, while it may technically be true that it was leaked from the CIA, it was not produced by the CIA.
No.
So that's where the confusion comes in. Oh, the intelligence agencies have collected this about Trump, but this is not true.
All right,
at least
Steve,
the way we understand it now.
Steve Jordahl from OneNewsNow.com. Steve, thanks so much.
You bet.
For being with us. Steve Jordahl from OneNewsNow.com. I think, you know, a lot of this could be solved if Donald Trump would just pick up the phone, call Vladimir Putin, and invite him to sing at the inauguration. I think.
Or perform without his shirt on.
More than anything. I think so.
On horseback.
Sort of a Chippendales version of the.
They'll do one of those Russian dances, you know, with the.
There you go. Yeah. That's but more cultural.
Right.
A Russian dance that Vladimir Putin could do to show, you know, unity with America.
Yeah.
And I think
America.
That would. Huh?
With America.
I think that would be good. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, we got something great going on here at AFA and AFR we wanted to tell folks about. Maybe they've heard about it, but tell folks what we're talking about here.
Yeah, as you've heard on American Family Radio this week, we are partnering, American Family Radio is partnering with a ministry called Preborn. And the Ministry of Preborn does is they provide free ultrasounds to women who are pregnant and maybe even thinking about an abortion, or they're not sure what to do, or they want to have their baby, but you know they don't have the money to pay for an ultrasound. And so American Family Radio is partnering with preborn ministry and providing free ultrasounds to these women. And I'll kind of lay out what your donation will do. For $28, you can provide one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. So $28 provides a lady or a young woman a free ultrasound. And, of course, $140 will provide five free ultrasound sessions reaching five women with a message of life. And 100% of your donation will go directly to the pregnancy centers providing the ultrasounds. So I'll go ahead and give out the phone number. You can go to AFR.net if you're on your mobile device or on the computer. Go to AFR.net and find out more information about preborn and AFR partnership. Or you can call 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396.
All right, and that's how are we doing so far on that?
Yeah, we've provided a couple hundred. Our listeners have provided several hundred ultrasounds for these young women, but we're not at our goal yet.
Okay.
So we need to keep.
What's the number again? Then
877-616-2396, or you can go to AFR.net.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio Network. Hey, we got about 2 or 3 minutes here. Did y'all hear about Meryl Streep the other day, the actress, the Golden Globe Awards?
She sounds like a joke.
Yes.
She took
Meryl
time
Streep
out,
walked into a bar.
Yeah. Well, she took time out to, I guess, she had her time on stage, and she decided to use it to slam Donald Trump.
Yep.
And I did see a picture last night. I was looking at the internet. I don't know where I saw this. But so you got all these big celebrities, household names, out right there at the Golden Globe Awards. And Meryl Streep walks up there. And I've forgotten if she was accepting some award. I think she was
getting a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Okay. I mean, it's a big deal. She was kind of the star of the night. And so she just starts using her talk to go after Trump. And they showed a picture of Mel Gibson and
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn, the actor. Mel Gibson, everybody knows who he is. Vince Vaughn, you know who he is.
Vince Vaughn is a libertarian. Mel
right.
Gibson, a conservative.
Right.
But they were sitting together.
They were sitting together, and it shows a picture of their faces as Meryl Streep is speaking. It's just hilarious. The looks on their faces like, like we're the only two conservatives / libertarians in the audience who...
It's on Drudge. It's on the page.
It is?
Homepage
okay.
of Drudge.
We don't,
you can see their picture.
We don't want to hear you do this, Meryl Streep, Meryl, or whatever. I don't know if they're on a first-name basis. We have to really listen to this. So, of course, all the other liberals in the crowd, the Golden Globe Awards, the Hollywood liberals, are clapping, and I'm sure they're crying,
you're
and
so
they're like
brave.
Going, "You're so brave, Meryl. Tell him. Tell the hater in chief, how we really feel." And you know what? It must be a tough pill to swallow for those people to know they're out of power now for at least 4 years. Huh?
No invite to the White House.
No, nothing. The Hollywood liberals are desperate people right now.
Yes,
and
they are.
And they thought they could never lose. I mean, think about it. Wealthy and powerful and famous.
Let Meryl Streep tell it. They're the most hated group of people in America.
Is that what she says about Hollywood?
Yeah. She said, actors, foreigners.
Oh
my goodness gracious. Well, you would have thought that closing concert with Beyonce and Jay-Z and Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen the night before the election would have put Hillary over the top.
Right.
But
they are hated, according to Meryl.
It didn't. Donald Trump won anyway. Must be the Russians. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to AFR.